Welcome to Healing Ties, a show that encourages you to live happy and healthy. By focusing on the emotional, physical, spiritual, and financial aspects of life, we tie four important components together, like a bow tie. And who isn't happy when they're wearing a bow tie? This not only creates a healthy life for each one of us, but will also create healthy communities. And now, here's your host, Chris McClellan, the Bow Tie Guy.
Well, greetings, everyone. It is Chris McClellan, the Bow Tie Guy, for another episode of Healing Ties. Actually, this is one of our special episodes, one of our author spotlight episodes of Healing Ties. You know, one of the great things about connecting with caregivers across the country is we all get to share each other's stories. And today, I am featuring an author who I had the pleasure to meet in person in December at the National Caregiving Conference in Chicago. It was terrific to meet my guest. I'm just gonna talk a little bit about him before I bring him on live here in the show. But Christopher Charles Chaney cared for his mother and has written just what I say is just a wonderful book, Mama Peaches and Me. It's his story about caring for his mom and the heartfelt love and care that he put through in his caregiving experience. And, you know, one of these components that we all appreciate in caregiving is sharing each other's stories. And as we get into our conversation today, Christopher's going to share some of his Mama Peaches stories. We're going to get into Mama Peaches herself, Christopher's caregiving experience. But, you know, let me tell you a little bit about Christopher. You know, he writes about what it means to love and care for an aging parent. He combines his personal stories and no-nonsense advice with a healthy dose of humor. And don't we all need some humor in the midst of caregiving? His book is like having a close friend to support those caring for an aging parent, a disabled spouse, or a loved one. Christopher, welcome to the show. It's great to connect with you today.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here, Chris.
Mama Peaches. Boy, as I finished reading the book last night, I felt like I knew your mom after finishing the book.
She was a special kind of lady, that was for sure.
So, Peaches, tell me about the background on Pete. Where does the name come from? Is that a nickname or a surname, or how did that develop?
I will be more than glad to tell you. My mom, her nickname was Peaches, and I believe she got that name when she was a little girl. There were peach trees, and she just loved peaches, and I believe her father named her Peaches. And so we've always called her Peaches. Her real name is Odessa Chaney.
Peaches, would it be okay to say from the Georgia? Were you from Georgia?
The Georgia Peach? Actually, Knoxville, Tennessee is where she and I were both born.
Oh, okay. That's kind of close to the Georgia line.
Not too far. You're right about that.
And so that's just a name that kind of stuck with her.
Yeah, that was a name that stuck with her. Now, she had myself and I had three brothers, and we all called her Peaches instead of Peaches, but I don't know where that came from, but we just called her Peaches while everyone else called her Peaches.
So you have three brothers as well?
Yes.
And where are you?
Three younger
brothers. Where are you in the line? Are you the youngest, oldest, or the middle? Or
I'm at the top.
I'm the oldest. You're the oldest.
That's right. That's right.
So in writing the book, how long did it take you to write the book?
This actually, it took me about, to be honest with you, it took me about 2 months to get it all together. Mm-hmm. And I'll have to say, when I was taking care of my mom, one of the things that I did to relieve stress was I would write these funny stories about my mom. She would always say or do something unexpectedly to just had you in tears.
Right.
And one day I decided to share one of her stories on Facebook. And I kind of did it to be spiteful because my mom was a very private person. And what happened was a surprise to me. People just really chimed in and say, hey, your mom is real funny. I really love this story. And they encouraged me to write more. And as I did, I started connecting with my Facebook audience. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, I was really, really private about what was going on behind my closed doors with my mom.
Right.
But a lot of the Facebook audience, they saw through it and they began to give me tips in terms of how to manage my caregiver journey with my mom. And they also told me of places I can go to get information, what to expect and how to handle this. So I was really appreciative of that. So the Mama Peaches stories helped me to connect with the community, if I can say it that way. And as I began to write more, people started throwing nuggets out there to say, hey, I think you should write a book. And I'd already written a book, and I thought, you know, this may not be a bad idea. Maybe I'll put this book together someday and take my mom on a tour because of the interest that she was getting. Everybody loved my Mama Peaches.
Right.
And, yes.
You write in the book about how your mom joked as an escape and how you wrote for an escape. I know for me, when I was in the middle of caregiving, writing was like my best friend. It was so cathartic to write about our day or our experience and share that information, because it's, you know, it's just so important to be for caregivers from any walks of life to be able to share and find that outlet. And it seems like both of you had that between each other, which is, I think, is just terrific.
Well, I've had to get a little transparent and say that I've always been serious around my mom. Mm-hmm. Didn't really laugh a lot, and that was because of our upbringing. But when she got sick, I really had to let go of that shield and really connect with her. I saw myself having more conversations with her. We were laughing more. We really bond in a way that I had never known with my mom. So if anything positive came out of my caregiving journey, it was that we became very, very close. Now, there were times in the beginning where I was really frustrated, and I think my mom saw that.
Right.
And what she did was she would soften the atmosphere by joking. And as I look back and as I read the stories today, my mom was intentionally trying to lighten the atmosphere to get me to laugh, to get me to smile,
right,
to get me to escape from the burden and the stress of caregiving.
I can, to hear you talk about this, and after reading the stories last night, there's a couple of stories that come to mind that completely make sense. And I'm just gonna relate one of them that I connected immediately after hearing you say that. The story about the cigarettes and walking down the walking down the hallway. And as you're describing her personality, I can see that happening, because that's a fabulous story in the book.
You know what's so interesting, Chris, is I run into people that read the book, and everybody has their favorite Mama Peaches stories. In the book, there are 19 chapters of all these Mama Peaches stories, and there's more. I'm going to write. This is actually one book of several in the Mama Peaches caregiving reading series. But everyone seems to have a story or two that they just simply love. And that's one of the things I appreciate. It really connects with people.
It puts the readers in our own shoes, because it is so relatable.
Yes, yes. I get very transparent. I think that's another reason why it's really relatable. Now, I'm in the church circles, and when I initially wrote, you know, sometimes mom was very raw in her expressions, and I would think about the church women on Facebook that would read the book or read these little stories, and I thought, oh, man, they're going to really think ill of my mom. But they were her number one fans. They were like, you go, Mama Peaches. So they really love it. So I just, again, she was real. She was relatable. I think a lot of times people read the stories and they're laughing in recognition because they may have loved ones that have gone through kind of similar stories.
Right. Because it's relatable. How do I want to say this? When caregivers can be so raw in telling their stories, it helps so many other folks who are in that caregiving experience, because we all have the impression that we're doing this ourselves. And then when we can read that we're not alone, just the tremendous help that that you provide by sharing those stories is just enormous.
Excellent.
Now I want to touch on another area, and you mentioned it just a little bit. You know, one of the other areas that I was very impressed with in the book, and I've not seen this really anywhere, is your how you attach some scripture passages to some of the tips and the stories, and I'd really like you to tell our listeners how you came about that and what that meant to you when you were writing those passages in the book.
Excellent. Well, you asked earlier how long did it take me to write the book, and it really didn't take me long because I had these Mama Pizza stories already written. So I put them all together and I thought, yeah, everyone likes the Mama Pizza stories. They're real funny and there's, you know, everyone's going to laugh. But there's something behind the stories, and there's this caregiving message that I want to give everybody. So in addition to the caregiving tips or the humorous stories, there are caregiving tips, there are caregiving resources, there are caregiving prayers.
Right.
After each story, I wanted to also give some additional information. So because it's a learning tool. So what I do at the end of each of these stories is I give a caregiving fact, a scripture, and one of my mom's quotes or sayings. And typically when a reader goes through the book, they'll resonate with something. Either it's a scripture, either it's a fact. I have people saying, hey, I love the idea that you put these facts in here. They're great. Or I love reading your mama's wisdom. Or some people like the scriptures. So there's something in there for nearly anybody who picks up the book.
Would you like to hear one of my favorite Mama Peaches inspired quotes?
I would love to.
Common sense ain't always common with everyone.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Like, oh, my gosh. I just wanted to reach out and hug her when I read that. Common sense ain't always common with everyone.
Yes.
But I just love the way you put the book together with the, you know, at the end of each story, with the facts, with the scripture, with the inspired quote, because it really, you know, it really puts the reader inside your home. I felt as I was reading the book that I was just. That I knew the two of you, that I wanted to be best friends with both of you.
Wow. That's wonderful.
So you also, in the book, you also talk about, and we may not be able to get to all the nine tips, but you do have nine tips in the book. And
yes.
Goodness. I think every caregiver is going to resonate with all nine of your tips, but I want to just start embracing change. You know, caregiving, and my listeners have heard me say this a million times, but, you know, for me, caregiving is like when you're caring for a spouse or a partner or a parent, it's like two relationships in one. That's that already pre-established relationship and then that caregiving relationship. And both parties have to embrace change.
Yes.
How was that for the two of you?
My mom was a very feisty, independent person. She had her own apartment, and when the boys left, my mom was always working two and three jobs when she didn't have to. She never learned how to drive. She always But that never stopped her from getting around. And so the hardest thing for me, Chris, was to tell Mom that she could no longer live on her own. She came to live with me. Mm-hmm. It was very, and I'm independent as well. So you had two independent people living in, you know, this house now. Mm-hmm. So, and I think the biggest thing with me was I quickly discovered that I couldn't execute my daily routine as usual. I had to, what I was doing was trying to bring my mom in my world, if you will.
Okay.
And schedule, if I can say it like this, schedule Mom around my schedule.
Right.
And I was frustrated because Mom simply would not fit into the plan. And it made it very difficult. But I got the revelation that, hey, instead of trying to force Mom into my world, I need to enter her world. And that was one of the things that helped me to understand her and helped me to manage the caregiving journey more effectively. There were things, my mom, like, I learned something. Let's say, for instance, if Mom would say the sky was orange, I can argue with her all day long. She'll never change her mind. And that's what would happen. But if I would say, would not, yes, it would totally cut that conversation to, or bring the conversation to end. And so, again, I started to live in her world to help me manage myself as a caregiver. Mm-hmm.
It's such an important adjustment, but it can be a hard adjustment for especially the caregiver because you really have to, not in every situation, but you have to give so much of yourself. And when I just love how you put that, when you can put yourself in their world, it makes both worlds so much easier. And I guess that really plays right into your second tip of, you know, providing fewer choices. I don't look at that as a negative per se, but especially when you're dealing with, you know, dementia, Alzheimer's, having those debates really is useless. But when you know, it's like the example that you just gave, you nod, you say yes when you know it might be something different.
Yes.
And of course, I'm going to digress just a second because I'm thinking of another story in the book about the turning on, okay, the turning on and off of the lights.
That is a favorite by far. Everyone loves that story.
Tell our listeners a little bit about that story because that'll entice them. It'll also entice them to buy the book as well.
Well, I don't know if I want to share that one because that's like the highlight.
We'll leave that as a teaser.
Get the
How's
book
that?
To read. Yeah, that's going to be a teaser.
We'll leave that as a teaser.
But that's the story that gets everyone. When they read that first story, it's called Lights On. This lady is real. This lady is serious. This lady is sharp. She's sassy. She has wit and wisdom. I love Mama Beaches.
So we're going to get our listeners all the information on how to get the book right towards the end of the show. And you're going to have a special announcement about the book as well. So, yes, sir.
So
let's get back to some of the tips. Number three, be prepared to make difficult choices. Wow. That is so true. We have to be prepared to make difficult choices. It's not easy. How do you look at this tip? What sage advice do you have for our listeners?
I think I've always had a great deal of respect for my mom. Mm-hmm. Mom said no meant no. I mean, she was old school mom. And old school mom, there were certain things that you just simply didn't do. Mom would say, you go to someone's house, you sit down, you don't touch anything. If I put anything on your plate, you're going to eat it. We're not going to debate it. And if you're in my house, you're going to contribute to the chores. So Mom was very demanding.
Right.
So when she got to the point where she relied on me and I was making decisions for her, like a difficult decision for me was taking my mom from her home. She did not want to go.
Sure.
And bringing her to live with me. That was, very difficult. And she let me know for many, many weeks that she did not like staying with me. She would call in the middle of the night family members and, hey, he's got me hostage. I got to get out of here. I'm having another book that comes out in 2018, which is a story behind the funny stories. But you'll hear how mom and I would go. I would take her to the store. And she would write these notes, and she would hand them to the cashier. Help, he won't let me go home. So I had always watched this lady. And there are stories about mom. We call her the runaway mom.
Okay.
Because in the book, she would, I had to keep my eye on her. There's one story, and I won't give all the details, where she actually gets away from me. She hitches a ride to the Greyhound bus station, and she goes to another city.
Oh, my.
How devastated was I? But I'm going to give all the details about that story in my book that I'm going to release in 2018.
Oh, another teaser for our listeners. I love those.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Well, and it's funny how these are segueing into some of your tips because, number four, you talk about don't make important plans.
Oh, I think it was don't wait to make the necessary plans.
Don't wait to make important plans, right?
Yeah.
Oftentimes
we think that moms, maybe dads, in real close levels are going to live forever.
Right.
And so we don't necessarily make those plans. Now, mom was very strategic in that she would have discussions, although I didn't want to hear about them. What do she would say? This is where the insurance policy is. It's, I don't want to go through that.
Right.
And oftentimes I would cut her off. But those were really. I tell people now in hindsight, have those conversations. And luckily for me, after my mom passed, I found a written will that she wrote. And I think she had wanted to tell me these things, but I would shut her down. And so in this written will, she mentioned accounts. She mentioned where she wanted to be buried, the color of her coffin, what dress she wanted, how her, this Mama Peaches now, how she wanted her hair done, what kind of earrings she wanted, the color of her dress. I mean, she had everything mapped out. I'd already called another funeral home, and I just happened to find this particular will, and I called the first funeral home, and I said, hey, stop the presses, because mama wants something else. So I was able to grant my mama her wishes. But again, yes, do not wait to have those necessary conversations.
It's just so heartfelt to hear that story, because for you to be able to carry out exactly what she wanted, that it makes a difficult situation just a little bit easier when you know that you're following exactly what the person wants.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful, Christopher. Goodness. Wow. But number five, be prepared for strained relationships. I always like to say in a caregiving situation with families, it's sometimes you have to leave that family baggage at the door and make sure that the person who is in need of care gets the care that they need.
Absolutely, Chris. Absolutely. Again, this goes back to four, having the necessary, don't wait for the necessary conversations.
Exactly.
In my case, I had siblings that were not actively involved in the caregiving journey, and I felt alone. And I would reach out to them, although they're in another state. As a caregiver, I wanted them to do something, at least call me every now and then, maybe send $5, although I didn't need it, but send $5 and say, hey, I needed to know that you were in touch, that you were thinking about us, that you were supporting us. In actuality, they got overwhelmed and decided not to return my phone calls or wait several days before calling or would question what I was doing. And I believe a lot of that could have been avoided if we had had conversations before mom got sick. This is what we're going to do. This is what should happen. And because we were not prepared for it at all, everybody had different expectations. You know, I'm the oldest, so I should take on the whole entire responsibility. And even after mom passed, I was really grateful that mom left me the will because my brothers decided not to get involved in that as well. And this is real. This is real. I go to caregiver support groups and I hear these horror stories about how families are now disconnected and because of the caregiving situation.
Right. And in a lot of cases, not all of them, but in a lot of cases, some of these conflicts can be nipped in the bud early on by just having these open and honest conversations with family members before we get into the caregiving role.
Yes, you know, yes, yes. I was thinking the other day, you know how we take CPR?
Yes.
Not because we expect to use it, but we want to be prepared. We take self-defense, not because we really want to use it, but we want to be prepared. And I think it would behoove people to go to a caregiving workshop just to get that knowledge so that you're prepared when it happens.
Exactly, because you know there is a role for everybody on the caregiving team. Not everybody, not every sibling is going to be well suited for in-home caregiving, but they have a talent that they can bring to the they can bring to the table. You might have a niece or a nephew that they might be a terrific cook. Let them, you know, bring a meal. In order for those components to fall into place, we have to have the ability to talk about it. We have to have those honest conversations with our caree and with our family so that we don't have to leave the baggage at the door when these caregiving situations come up. Because as we all know, you know, caregiving happens usually in one or two ways, an unfortunate accident or an untimely diagnosis. That's what predicates a caregiving situation, and by just planning just a little bit ahead can help alleviate some of these issues. Goodness.
Yeah, and you know, planning ahead so that you have that caregiving team. And as you said, everyone can play a role. Everyone doesn't have the care gene.
Right.
In my family, I have the care gene, and so I don't expect everyone to respond the way that I did or feel the way I do, but I do expect you to do something. Bring your talents to the table.
Well, isn't it nice to, it's so nice to know another Christopher that has the care gene.
That's right. I think I heard it from my mom. My mom was always a giving type of woman.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm pretty sure you probably know this, but you know what Christopher means.
Christ bearer.
We both have that spirituality bent, and that's why I just thoroughly enjoyed how you paired the scriptures with the humor and with the stories. I mean, you've just done an excellent job on your book. So
thank you.
So we just have a couple of minutes left. We're going to leave. We've got four more tips that our listeners will be able to read in your book, but you want to make a little bit of announcement here on the book, and then tell our listeners how they can get a copy of your book.
Most certainly. The announcement that I'd like to make in recognition or celebration of National Caregivers Day, which is Friday the 17th, and in honor of my mother and family caregivers around the world, I'm offering the ebook version of my book, Mama Peaches and Me, absolutely free. Your listeners or anybody who's interested can go to my website at Arthur, that's A-U-T-H-O-R, Christopher.com, to get all the details.
So that's for the 17th and 18th of February?
That's correct.
And it's www.authorchristopher.com?
Yes, sir.
And that's where people can order the book from your website if they're not able to get there Friday and Saturday of this week. That is the location where they can purchase the book as well.
Yes. And in addition to that, it's available online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, both online.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble. That's terrific to know. And I'll be getting a post, blog post out on the Purple Jacket.
Excellent.
About all this information and links to Christopher's website. Christopher, it's great having you on the show, and I think we should do a few more of these.
I would love to.
So you got a couple of more books coming out. Tell our listeners when you anticipate those being published.
Okay. The first book in the Mama Peaches reading series will come out this year. I'm thinking October. That's around my birthday. That's when I release the first book that we've been talking about. I don't have a title for this book, but this book would include many of the sayings and quotes of my mom. So I may do like 101 sayings, Mama Peaches quotes, or I'll come up with some interesting name. I've written them down, so now it's just kind of the formatting the book, getting the title, and packaging it all together. In 2018, I want to release the Mama Peaches story. And again, it is the story behind the funny stories. What did Mom and I go through on a day-to-day basis? Some of my experiences with the medical professions.
Oh, goodness.
With my family.
Yes.
With my family and just death and dying, that whole thing. So I'm going to take them through the whole journey.
Well, Christopher, you are, through your writing and storytelling and sharing your life with Mama Peaches, you are certainly somebody that's creating healing ties for all of us. And I can't thank you enough for being on the show today.
Hey, it's been my pleasure.
Okay, that does it for this episode of Healing Ties. I'm Chris McClellan, the Bowtie Guy. I'm creating a life to love after caregiving ends through writing, radio, travel, advocacy, and being with awesome people like Christopher Chaney. Healing Ties is a part of the Whole Care Network. Catch us out online at WholeCareNetwork.com. We'll see you for another episode of Healing Ties real soon. Bye-bye.